This podcast brought to you by Aviation Consumer Magazine, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners.
Hi, this is Jeff Van West reporting from AirVenture 2017, and I'm here with Greg Roark, who is the founder and CEO of the Aspen Aerospace Alliance. He is also the director of aeronautics for the Aspen School District, and he's teaching STEM classes here in the Redbird tent all week, showing how we can bring aerospace education into the classroom in very tangible ways. So can you give us a background of what you do for the Aspen School District?
I just sort of have this philosophy of the fact that we have the technology that's available to us to eliminate theory. And that's a thing that through someone's, you know, their education years, that is so difficult, because you go into a classroom, you look at a board, you see this formula, and you say, okay, this is what this formula is going to be used for, this is how you do it, blah, 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 now do it, okay, now move on. But you don't really apply it to anything. You don't really apply it to something that has meaning for those students. So what we do is that we'll take that same formula and I'll show kids how we apply it in and around an airplane every single time we fly it or when we build it. So we basically show kids applied algebra, physics, trigonometry, geometry, geography, every single subject that these kids study in school. We show them how we use that in and around the airplane every single day. And we try to make that then relevant to the kids, because once a subject becomes relevant, that's when they'll use it again. That's when we can take the next step.
So can you give me like a tangible example of how an abstract concept is applied in your classroom using the simulators?
Time, speed, and distance. So we'll use the time, speed, and distance formula to calculate flight plans. And we start this with these kids in the fifth grade, where we start using E6B calculators, computers that we use. And the kids are always like, well, this isn't a computer, you can't plug it in. It's like, well, technology doesn't always have to have electrons. So we'll teach those kids the time, speed, and distance formula and how to use it. But we don't lead with that. We don't lead to say, here's some algebra for you here as well. We talk about, okay, you're gonna fly an airplane. Where are you gonna go? How are you gonna get there? How does all of this work? And we show them how it works with the cross-country planning that we do. And we show them on the E6B computers how to make those calculations for all of your flight speed, the time it's going to take based on the distance that you're going to travel. Then when they get that done, I'll put a formula on the board and say, okay guys, what's this? And most of the kids will look at that and they'll go, I don't know.
Right.
Well, you just did it. You just did algebra. You just did this, because this is in essence what you just did. And when you can start showing kids how to do things like that, now all of a sudden that math lesson has become disarmed. It's no longer intimidating. It's not a thing where a kid says, well, I can't do algebra because, you know, here in Mr. R's class, the big bald man just showed me that I can. And that's the payoff.
Right. That makes a lot of sense. Now, some of the things that I've heard from your classrooms are like all day long or round the clock challenges that you're having these kids do. Tell me a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I'm brutal. When we started integrating the desktop simulators into our programming, the idea came to me is to say, you know, we're doing all of these lessons and we're doing sort of these blocks that we do of different types of flying and different things that we want to teach kids by using the sims. How cool would it be to create a challenge to divide the kids up that are using these, put them on two teams, divide them up, put them in crews, so you have a captain and a first officer that fly in a two-hour shift, that every 30 minutes change positions, so everybody gets the same kind of flight time, same responsibilities. And I throw out a challenge to them that requires them to do large-scale computations of everything that we have done in the class to that point. So they have to pull on their weather skills, you know, everything that we do with regard to earth science, all of that flight planning that we've done, the fuel burning, time, speed, and distance calculations. Where do I get fuel? Is this going to be the right airport for me to land to get fuel based on the way that the wind is blowing and the direction that we're flying? And oh, by the way, where do we find fuel in the middle of the night in Mongolia? So the kids have to go through and they have to plan this entire flight, and they do it, you know, kind of secretly. And then ultimately, you know, we get 4 p.m. on a Friday, we start the challenge and we'll choose an aircraft, we fly real time. And so these kids are there round the clock, and it goes for a full 48 hours. And so they some of them sleep at the school, some of them are there in shifts, some of them, you know, go home during the day, come back at night. I mean, it's kind of an orchestrated thing. We have a tremendous amount of parent volunteers that help make all of this stuff go, keeping the kids fed and watered and, you know, focused on the task at hand. And we've done three of those now. So we've had 3 years of those types of round the world flight challenges, and kids love them. They just think it's the coolest thing. And it's kind of that payoff for all of the other work so that they can actually see, here's what you do. Here's how you do it in real life. And it's just, it's kind of cool.
It's very cool. Now, I'm curious where in the curriculum that you're working with these kids, how do you balance the working on the sim and the gaming aspect of it? Yeah. Well, and I don't mean that term in a negative sense at all.
No.
With the book work, board work, you know, there's that balance of how much theory does someone have to have before they can have success in practice? How much practice can we give them early on so that they want the theory and it has relevance?
You know, it took a while to kind of iron out exactly kind of the balance of all of it. A lot of trial and error, you know, you get bloodied up sometimes, you know, when you think, okay, we can do it this way. And then, you know, you find out pretty brutally that sometimes that stuff doesn't work. Okay, well, what will? For instance, if you do like 20 minutes of ground, you really almost need twice that amount of time on the sims. And the reason being is because you have some technical things that have to be learned in addition to the formula elements in the ground school piece. So the payoff for the kids is, you know, it's engaging, it's exciting. They learn pretty quick that in Mr. R's class, these are tools and not toys. The algorithms, the physics algorithms that are employed here in the software with how these aircraft operate is just amazingly similar to the real aircraft, because a lot of the aircraft that we use in our simulators, we actually fly. And so we're in them quite a bit to know that this is really the way they behave. This is really what you can expect at this altitude and this wind and this pressure setting. And it's pretty amazing. So, you know, that's how we work those things out.
Now, when you say we actually fly, who's the we? Do you mean you personally as a pilot? Are you a general aviation pilot who flies on a regular basis? Or do you mean the kids also flying?
No, I mean me and us, because our kids fly as well. The Higher Learning Flight Academy, we have two Diamond DA-40s. And so we have there in Aspen, the center where the kids, as they come up through the ranks, they get in high school, they get old enough, then they start taking my full-blown FAA classes in high school, and then they can start flying, and they can start earning all of their certificates and ratings. Our kids will have the opportunity to graduate high school as multi-engine commercial pilots.
One of the things people always wonder about is, of course, outcomes. You know, for all this investment that goes into it, what's the tangible, measurable outcome? And obviously there are some qualitative outcomes you can see already. I can see it on the videos that I've seen of how engaged the kids are in the challenges that you do. But you were doing this long before even Aspen. You were in Albuquerque. So that's dating back to 2009.
Right.
Looking back across that entire span, do you have quantitative data as to what kind of an influence this investment has had in outcomes for the kids going through the program?
It did not escape the attention of teachers early on there in Albuquerque. The fact that all of a sudden these kids that were kind of middle of the pack when it comes to academics. Now all of a sudden they're getting better grades. And it's that question, it's going, wow, you know, why are they getting better grades on these exams? Why are they doing better in school academically? Why has their behavior changed? We have four core values of our program. That is commitment, perseverance, respect, and honor. And kids learn pretty quick what those things mean, and they learn the importance of understanding and applying a commitment. Because learning how to fly, it's not always easy. There's a reason that 80% of the people who start never finish. Well, by creating that support, and then you persevere and you learn grit. You learn that when you have something that has that type of academic rigor in it and you succeed. Now you see these kids that were kind of sulking through the halls before, now are walking through those halls like astronauts. And it's the coolest thing to see.
Somebody listening to this might be wondering, okay, so I love the idea. How do I bring that to, you know, Greensboro or, you know, Walla Walla or wherever it happens to be?
You can send me an email at groark, that's G-R-O-A-R-K, at AspenAero, AspenAero.org.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Greg, for taking the time today.
Jeff, thanks. Appreciate it.
This is Jeff Van West from AirVenture 2017.